listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
Dude!
It's episode 32, part 3, the heavy metal episode, John.
AKC Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And we're, which is Scott said, it's 32, part 3. We're a bunch of monkeys, man. What the hell?
Chimps, I believe. I prefer.
The chimp.
Chimps. I prefer.
And you know, Adrian, it's because I'm kind of slow in the brain. My brain doesn't function very well. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, John, before we get into our heavy metal episode of politics.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, I forgot to mention Spike and Rachel.
Oh, right.
We finally heard from Spike. He didn't hear, we didn't hear from him in a while.
A long
I'm really
time,
having a hard time already.
Time.
In a long time. And we heard from him. He posted something on the forum, and there were a couple of videos out there. We recommend everybody go out and check out the, I believe it's under Dirty Videos. Check those out. That's from Spike and Rachel, and Spike and Rachel do their own podcast.
Yeah.
And I've been listening. I'm on episode 8 right now.
Sweet.
And I meant to cut out part of episode 2 to bring it in, just like a minute, to play it for the fans, to give a sample of Spike and Rachel. And I don't know if this would be for all our fans or not. I'm definitely into it.
Well, my wife liked the Halloween video.
Yeah, that was a great video.
She really digged it.
And we dissected that on our last podcast. But, and here's the funny thing, John.
Yeah, what?
I'm totally into Spike and Rachel, this podcast. And I like listening to it because it's...
I haven't listened to it yet. I'm really guilty.
It's more laid back. When you listen to ours, we're like, even though we're laid back, we're in your face, you know?
In your face!
But they're more laid back. They just chit-chatting back and forth, and I'm totally digging it. And I got to tell you, I don't know if... I think that Spike and I are soulmates. That's what I think, John.
Yeah. You're probably the same height. The dude's huge.
When I went to the website, you see their pictures. Their pictures are there.
Pictures. I notice how you... thought about it.
Enunciate.
That is a
yes.
Pictures.
And I look at Spike and I'm like, damn, that guy looks so familiar. Familiar. Maybe I know him. And then I listen to their podcast and his voice is so pleasant and soothing and relaxed. And it's a voice that...
It's Tom O'Connell.
He's a voice that I've heard. O'Connor?
O'Connor. I don't
know
the guy.
It's a voice that I've heard and it's... really weird, John. It's like I know who this person is, even though I don't know who he is. But I think in my mind, it's like we grew up together or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Probably not. But anyway, one of the clips I was going to cut out of part two, which I couldn't find part two on my computer. I don't know what happened to it. But I was going to clip out a part
to fuck you in the ass.
Where they talked
I think
about
you meant to say Spike.
What?
You meant to say, Spike.
John, I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
All right,
the way you're talking about it.
We're derailing already.
I'm sorry.
I understand what you're saying now. I get the joke. Ha ha. So.
Big baby.
What I'm saying is.
What are you saying? Spit it out.
It's like Spike and I were grammar school buddies, and we lost our way, and now we're getting back together. In this podcast community. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
man.
My God. That is so prolific.
No, it's not. It's kind of gay, isn't
it?
Beautiful. But if the fans are interested.
Maybe it's profound.
Spike and Rachel, I don't think they're... I think in podcast one, they mentioned that they're not girlfriend and boyfriend. They're just friends.
Well, I want to know, is Rachel bi or lesbian? Or it doesn't matter. But,
all lesbian or bi?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's put that out on the forum. We'll ask her. So anyway, Rachel's this really hot 22-year-old, and Spike is this other guy who's...
Really hot, tall, handsome, kind of redhead, right?
Kinda. He is redhead, man. The curtains match the drapes, if you know what I'm saying.
You would know.
And they just shoot the shit for however long, and they talk about whatever, and I totally dig it. And they talk, here's one of the major topics they talk about is horror movies.
Yeah.
And video games.
Awesome.
Right. Now, John, like, I think areas for I me. Could get into rap, right? I think I could. But I would need somebody to guide me and tell me what the good stuff is, you know?
Of rap?
Of rap.
Okay.
Separate the shit from the shinola, if you know what I'm saying. So I don't waste my time with bad rap.
Right.
But I haven't found that person yet. But now take that and apply it to horror movies and, most importantly, video games. Because I'm not a big video game
guy.
No,
you're not. You're a Pac-Man kind of
guy. Yeah, I was a Pac-Man kind of guy. And I still am a Pac-Man kind of guy.
Or packing but the fudge. Fudge
pack packer. The fudge kind of guy. But I'd like to get into video games because I've heard they're outstanding. And now when I listen to Spike and Rachel, they talk about video games and they talk from experience and from some perspective that lets me trust them. And now I want to go out and get video games that they recommend.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, they're into the spooky ones, man.
Yeah, and they talk about horror movies as well, which since my uncle took me to see The Exorcist when I was 12, I really haven't gotten into horror movies, but I do like the whole concept of horror movies. And I think if we ever did put a movie together, one of the first movies we would put together would be a horror movie. I don't know why, like a sci-fi horror movie.
Horror.
Not a whore. No, a horror. Well, we could do like a combo. A horror movie. That would be kind of cool.
All right. That sounds awesome.
So yeah,
I like the horror.
Just want to give out a shout out to Spike and Rachel.
I like the freaky kind of horror.
Oh, and guess what?
What?
You know they're on Podcast Alley?
Yeah.
You know how many votes they have this month?
No.
One.
What?
You know who that came from?
Who?
Me.
Yeah. I didn't know.
I went and voted and gave a comment for Spike and Rachel.
Oh, I'm going to vote, man. I didn't know there were. Well, I knew. I never thought of voting, I guess.
I guess so.
I'm going to vote.
I guess not.
I will vote. Two votes they will get from me.
They will get two from you.
Two. One from each of my IP addresses.
Each of your accounts and That's IP right. addresses. Very good, then.
So expect a vote from Dick Fitz.
Are you going to leave a comment?
Pseudonym. Oh, yeah.
Well, very good then. So Spike and Rachel,
Rachel's
keep it up.
On, but man, and knockout young lady.
And Spike and or Rachel, if you're in the Chicagoland area, let us know when you'll be here. And we'll
unfortunately, both of us are old enough to be your father.
All right, I'll cut that out in post.
Oh, you big baby. How old do you think Spike is?
She's a lesbian anyway. Unless you got a vagina.
Listen, you
okay?
old man.
What? She's not going to be interested. You cocksucker.
Oh, my God. You are so vain. All right, everything's about you.
It is about me. That's why we're doing this podcast, because it's about me.
Oh, that's great.
It's all about me.
Drag me down into your little homo fantasy.
All right.
Or solo. I meant solo sexual. You're more like a solo sexual. You're so vain that you can do it to yourself about yourself.
Yes, and I will be found dead of autoerotic asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation.
Right, that's what I said, you numbnuts.
I know what you're going to do in post. You're going to start saying the words correctly and like insert them.
Oh, I'll insert them all right.
Yeah, I'm going to do the asphyxiation.
All right, man. Well, I got this. We love Tom DeLay, don't we, John? Love Tom DeLay.
The delay.
The delay. Well, anyway, on November 27th, Tom DeLay said, and he was talking about a fellow senator, Duke Cunningham. And Tom DeLay said, Duke Cunningham is a hero. He is an honorable man of high integrity. Now, guess what happened, John?
What's that?
Do you know what happened?
I don't.
On November 28th, the Duke goes down crying, John. Duke Cunningham addressed the media today, and he broke down in tears after he pleaded guilty Monday to conspiracy and tax charges. Now, this is the guy the day before that Tom DeLay said was an honorable man. Now, if you have it, cue it up. I got some audio of the Duke going down crying. It's pretty funny. Check this out.
When I announced several months ago that I would not seek re-election, I publicly declared my innocence. Because I was not strong enough to face the truth, so so I misled my family, friends, staff, colleagues, the public, and even myself. For all of this, I am deeply sorry. The truth is I broke the law, concealed my conduct, and disgraced my office. I know that I will forfeit my freedom, my reputation, my worldly possessions, most importantly... the trust of my friends and family. Some time ago, I asked lawyers to inform U.S. Attorney Carol Lamb that I would plead guilty and begin serving a prison term.
Yeah, so this
he's
MF-er.
Thinking about the big cock in the ass. Oh, no, he's crying about.
He's gonna get 10 years.
10 years of a big giant
senator
cock in the ass.
Cunningham. Hey, Richie Cunningham, why don't you come over here so I can ope you?
You look more like a Cunningham.
Come over here because I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass. So Duke
John,
Cunningham,
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
Duke Cunningham going to jail, and someone Tom DeLay said the day before he's an honorable man of high integrity.
John, hey. I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
Does he say Tom?
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
I don't know.
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass. I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
I just love playing it over and over again.
Well, John.
So goddamn funny.
And Tom DeLay is one of Bush's. Not Butch Tony's, but Bush's right-hand man.
Don't bullshit me.
Tom DeLay, who's indicted himself. Did you know that, John?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this government...
That means not tell the truth.
It's all corrupt and all effed up.
It's the culture of corruption.
And I don't know if
it's been dubbed the culture of corruption.
I don't know if you've heard this, John, but the United States of America is paying Iraqi newspapers. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Did you know this, though, John? It troubles the president. Can you believe this crap? President Bush is disturbed by the U.S. military's practice of paying Iraqi newspapers to run articles emphasizing positive developments in the country and will end the program only if it violates the principles of free media. What, like they have to check on that, John? Huh? They have to check and make sure that it doesn't violate the principles of free
yeah.
media? Free.
We're not
I think
sure.
the key word here is free. And we're paying for something that should be free.
Right.
And but no, they have to investigate it. Stupid asses. He's very troubled by it, John.
It's the culture of corruption.
That's what
Scott.
Donald H. Rumsfeld said when he looked into the pave to print program. He said that about the W. He's very troubled by it. If it is unconstitutional. If it is inconsistent with the policy guidance, it will be shut down. All right. So they have to check a policy to see if paying for press it goes against the guidelines. How retarded is that? Hadley acknowledged the need to counter the disinformation campaigns of U.S. enemies in Iraq, but the message we need to get out is the truth and the facts, said Hadley. Even if the stories are factual, it's got to be done in a way that reinforces a free media, not undermines it,
right,
John.
Right.
Now, John, military officials and Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, God.
Generally defended the program under which the Washington-based contractor was authorized to pay Iraqi papers to run articles compiled by coalition forces.
Bill O. Dumbass.
So Bill O'Reilly came out and said, well, I don't understand what's wrong with it. What say you, John?
What say me?
Now, the Pentagon spokesman Brian Whitman said the legality and policy ramifications of the program were unclear.
The spokesman?
Yeah, the spokesman. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
It's unethical.
Yeah, and if I can spit that out. And no doubt. Okay, so now Bush is catapulting the propaganda over in Iraq,
right?
And now they're Bush is troubled by it, but Bill O'Reilly and his generals say, "Hey, what's wrong? What's the big deal? We're just paying for these news stories."
Yeah.
And I'm gonna give you an example
of
what's wrong with
the Christian way,
John.
Bill.
And it's not the way of the USA, my friend. And here's why. On December 3rd. Oh, I may have my stories mixed up. No, this is right. On December 3rd.
This is so reminiscent of a podcast a while ago.
This story came out, John, on December 3rd. Senior Al-Qaeda commander killed in Pakistan. Have you heard this? That we got the number 3 Al-Qaeda commander?
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, of course.
He ranked among the top 5 in Osama bin Laden's network, and he was killed in a tribunal region of Pakistan bordering Afghanistan. Get this, John. While officials said the blast was caused by explosives stored in the house for bomb making. So when it came out on the 3rd, he blew himself up trying to make a bomb. Okay? You got that?
Yeah, I got it. All right. So he blew himself up.
Now, oops. The story coming out on the 5th of December. And remember, we pay for stories over there.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda chief killed by the U.S., John. Not by blowing himself up trying to make a bomb, but the story changes 2 days later. President Muzaffarana of Pakistan insisted that the head of operations for the Al-Qaeda had been killed. Yesterday, I said that was 200% confirmed. No, I say it is 500% confirmed. Hold on, I got to get my accents ready.
What was that?
I'm like from Asia. Give me a little Emil Abudasis so I can... Okay, there you go. All right, let me get into character. Yesterday, I said the debt was 200% confirmed. Now, I say it is 500% confirmed. General Muzaffarana said upon his arrival in Kuwait that Hamazan Rabi, an Egyptian, had been killed in North Waziristan, the tribal area of the Pakistan and Afghan border, according to U.S. media reports, John.
How come you never laugh at my shit, man?
Rabi was killed by a missile fired by an unmanned Predator drone controlled by the CIA.
Right.
It wasn't that he blew himself up making a bomb. He was killed by the CIA.
The CIA. We drove a bomb into his house.
Pakistan officials said the death of Rabia had been proved by DNA tests, John.
Which I wish really happened.
They said the missile attack on the house near Miran Shah triggered an explosion in a stockpile of musicians, and that U.S. assistance played a crucial role in tracking down Rabia, John. Not that he blew himself up trying to make a bomb. And that came out 2 days after the original story.
After.
And boy, I wonder if they paid for that, John. I don't know. I find that troubling. Don't you?
I could see why they want to say that.
No doubt.
Take credit for it.
Of course.
Because they can't stop it, man. I hate to say it, you know, but they can't stop it. They can't stop the bleeding. The insurgency. You know,
No, they can. What are you saying? They have a plan. Bush came out this week.
Right,
he has
I
a
know.
National strategy for victory in Iraq. I have the document right here.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Do you?
But you know, looking for an easy way to protest Bush.
I am.
His foreign policy week
I'm
after
looking
week.
For an easy way to protest President
well,
Bush.
Actually, an easy way to help alleviate global poverty. Would you like one like that?
I would love an easy way to protest Bush with global poverty.
No, by you can alleviate global poverty at the same time as you're protesting Bush.
Yes, that's what I want to do.
Buy your gasoline at Citgo stations and tell all your friends.
Why?
Because, Scott, of the top oil-producing countries in the world, only one is a democracy. With a president who was elected on a platform of using his nation's oil revenue to benefit the poor.
Who's that?
The country is Venezuela, Scott. The president is Hugo Chavez. Call him the anti-Bush.
Hugo Chavez. Didn't Pat Robertson call for his
execution?
He called
for his execution.
Nice.
Now, it's funny that the president would deal with dictators and people that chop other people's heads off and make women wear these burkas and all
walk
that shit.
Walk 10 feet behind them. Yeah. Mutilate their clitoris.
And they'll deal with that kind of vermin, but they won't patch it up with the Venezuelan president.
Hugo Chavez.
Hugo Chavez. Anyway, Citgo is a U.S. refining and marketing firm that is a wholly owned subsidiary of Venezuela's state-owned oil company. Money you pay to Citgo goes primarily to Venezuela, not to Saudi Arabia. Arabia, did they say that? Arabia.
Arabia.
Of the Middle East. And I have this great picture somewhere. I got to send it to you so you can put it on the website. Of this Saudi Arabian guy's palace. And he has a car made out of pure silver, or Mercedes-Benz made out of pure silver.
That's important.
And I think I've talked about that before.
If I had more money than anybody in the world, that's what I would want.
Yeah.
Well, a car made out of silver.
I'm not against the Saudi Arabian people.
Stupid ass.
Per se,
I am.
But I'm against those goddamn princes that just really, they're useless.
No, really?
Yeah.
Monarchy?
Yeah.
Useless? Come on, what are you saying?
Well, okay, sorry. What am I saying?
I don't know.
There are at least 14,000 Citgo gas stations in the U.S. By buying your gasoline at Citgo, you are contributing to the billions of dollars that Venezuela's democratic government is using to provide health care, literacy, and education, and subsidize food for the majority of Venezuelans.
Well, I'm going to Citgo from now on.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I can't, you know, I own BP stock, you know, I'm not bragging about it, but because I think eventually they'll come up with some sort of, and I think I'm going to sell it anyway to do my addition, but I think they're eventually going to come up with some sort of alternative fuel, but I doubt it. You notice it wasn't good to recycle until it was profitable. So that, like, McDonald's could advertise that all their shit that they... You remember they used to put the Whopper and all... Whopper. The Big Mac in the, like, styrofoam container.
Right. I remember that. Good cough button.
Thanks. Anyways, you could do that, Scotters. You can go there.
I'm going to do that. Hey, I gave you some W clips. Can you play the condom one? Condom?
Condome.
That's a good one, man. That's a good one. Let's hear from the W. We haven't heard from him in a long time.
Let me reorganize my papers.
Reorganize.
And
the W.
My papers. Here we go. The W.
We're working with our partners to expand prevention efforts that emphasize abstinence, and being faithful in marriage, and using condoms correctly.
Those condoms.
Condoms. You got to put those condoms on right, John.
Is he talking about condoms like Democrats?
Condoms.
Those condoms as opposed to neocons.
Neocon and the condoms. I don't know. Maybe it's a gitmo.
The right-wing death cult. Neocon death cult. I've heard that being called that.
Well, no, you know, John, big thing goings on here in the U.S. A Democrat from Pennsylvania came out and said, hey, we need to withdraw troops right now from Iraq. And the W and Cheney fought back. And the W is still on the attack. On the attack? On the attack. Did you know that, John?
Yeah.
President Bush refused those calls for troops withdrawals in the speech on Wednesday at the U.S. Naval Academy. Most Americans want two things in Iraq, John. They want to see our troops win, and they want to see our troops come home as soon as possible, and those are my goals as well. I will settle for nothing less than complete victory, John. And what do you think about that? Where does he get that crap that most Americans want to see two things? I want to see one thing. I want to see our troop comes home. I couldn't care less about Iraq.
Right. Me
could
either.
Not care less
me
about
either.
Iraq.
And maybe they're listening, and it's no dig on you. You know,
if you want democracy,
right.
fight for
fight
it yourselves.
For it.
That's it.
Why does it take, and this is something that Bill O'Reilly said on the Today Show, and it really... I wanted to be pissed, but I couldn't because he was right.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 6 weeks and then a couple more because of the desert to train an American citizen to be a soldier ready to fight in Iraq. And they ship them over there after, let's say, 8 weeks. Why is it taking still 3 years to train Iraqis? They should be churning out 6 weeks after 6 weeks, or flying them over here, train them how to fight or whatever. Fly them to Guantanamo or whatever. Gitmo.
I don't know, man.
Why is it taking so goddamn long? And that's what Bill O'Reilly said. But then in the same breath, he ripped on everybody for being pinheads, for going against the war. Because we're critics of it, so we're the same people that said, hey, Hitler's not that bad of a guy.
Yeah, we're the same people that said that, you cunt face.
Well, hey,
good cough button.
I believe it was the Republicans that did not want to attack Hitler, wasn't it? Or was it the Dems?
Who cares? Who knows? I don't know. I wasn't there. Well, John, I read the document. National Strategy for Victory in Iraq. Have you read this document?
I didn't read it. I read like a synopsis.
Well, let me just give you some bullet points, because Bush says he wants complete victory. All right? And let's define what that is. You know what that is, John?
No, I don't.
Victory in Iraq is defined in stages. There's a short term, a medium term, and long term. Okay? Do you want to know what those are?
What are they?
Short term, Iraq is making steady progress in fighting terrorists, meeting political milestones, building democratic institutions, and standing up security forces. What does that mean? And standing up security forces. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
Medium term, Iraq is the lead defeating terrorists and providing its own security with fully constitutional government in place and on its way to achieving its economic potential. Okay, fine. For me, worst case scenario, that's when we leave. Medium term.
Right.
But no, W has a long term.
Yeah.
And it's not complete victory until long term is met, John. And here's the long term. Iraq is peaceful.
Oh, my God.
United, stable, and secure. I guess that means we'll be there until eternity, John.
Okay. What they said, they interviewed a bunch of Iraqis, both Sunnis and Shiites. And what they're saying is that when Saddam was in power, although there was a lot of injustice, there was a lot of peace. And Sunnis and Shiites lived in the same neighborhood together. Now they're segregating into two separate neighborhoods. One guy, who's I guess was a Shiite, he's living in a shithole compared to where he lived before. But he's happy because at least he's safe, because he's with a bunch of other Shiites. And they're fighting each other right now. There's civil war. Now, who the fuck are we to go into there, first of all, and say, okay, calm down, let's get it all together? They're going to need some kind of an iron fist ruler. And who is going to rule the right side?
Well, it's so completely goddamn obvious, and it should be obvious to everybody on the planet, that this Bush guy had no agenda other than to invade. He had no strategy whatsoever after that. 2 years ago, we saw that stupid mission accomplished.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And
big signs.
It's getting worse.
Yep.
And when you get a chance, play Representative Murtha from Pennsylvania number one. And he'll tell you why it's getting worse, John. He will. And he'll say it very eloquently, unlike you and I can talk.
Over a year ago, I sent a letter to the president, and the reply was, we got 200,000 troops trained. You know, just because these guys say it doesn't make it so. What I measure progress is electricity, which is below pre-war, which oil production is below pre-war, and of course that was supposed to pay for this deployment. And third is 60% unemployment. And then the incidents have gone from 150 a week to 600 a week. They don't mention this kind of stuff. All they talk about is something you really can't measure.
Right. All they talk about is jibber-jabber, John.
Right.
Jibber-jabber. We want complete victory. And then they can't even define what complete victory is. They're so stupid.
And then O'Reilly calls Murtha a traitor.
Well, O'Reilly's a cocksucker, and we've exposed that cocksucker before. But it's goddamn ridiculous, John. It's ridiculous. And finally, Murtha's coming out, and he's saying, hey, look, it's shitty over there. It's shittier for them than it was before the war.
Yeah.
And it's shitty for us, and we're still goddamn there.
Shit.
This guy said he had a plan.
Sorry about that.
This guy said the mission was accomplished 2 years ago, and the incidents have gone from 150 to 600.
I am stupid. I am a stupid guy.
That's what it was supposed to sound like. You're right, man. And they were calling him a hawk because he was all for this war in the beginning. And now he's saying, hold on a second. And he's highly decorated, and he's supposed to be a pal of Cheney. And he's
not anymore.
They had to do some major damage control when he came out.
Go and play it in second file.
The military won a victory. They toppled Saddam Hussein. They destroyed his army. Now, you gotta look at insurgency versus terrorism. There's a separation. They keep trying to tie the two together. They're not tied together. In Iraq, you've got an insurgency. The minute we leave there, the insurgency is going to be reduced. Just because they say it's not going to be reduced doesn't make it so. All the things they've said turned out not to be true. So I'm convinced the Iraqis can handle this by themselves. It's an old civilization. They've been around a long time. It'd be like the French staying in the United States during the 1776. They got out of the country. We had to settle it ourselves. It took a civil war. That's up to the Iraqis. We can't let the Iraqis decide when we get out. We can't let the military decide when we get out. The politicians in Washington, the President of the United States has to make a decision here. And his plan is not a plan. It's all rhetoric.
Do you think the president...
I cannot agree with this MF-er more, John. Did you hear what he said?
Oh, yeah. Just what I said before that.
Right.
They got to do it on their own.
Do it on their own. And if the French stuck around after the Revolutionary War, we would have been more pissed and hated them more than we do now, John.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Which I can't imagine. But that's what would have happened, man.
It's their own family fight. They got to figure it out.
Figure it out.
The leader's gone. They can start.
Do whatever you want. We took Saddam out. Now figure it out.
You know, it's just like now, the South is still pissed off that the North won.
That's right.
And they still bitch about it.
Still bitch about it.
Which I don't understand, but, you know.
And John, there's one more clip from Murtha. Don't play it yet. But what he's responding to here is, there's a news story that came out, and the W is lying again. He's lying his ass off again. There was some sort of victory that happened over in Iraq, and the W said that the Iraqis led this victory against the insurgents. But here's the real truth, John, and whenever you're ready, go ahead and play that third file.
Do you think the president was being honest today in his assessment of the Iraqi forces? And he said that it was led primarily by Iraqi security forces, 11 Iraqi battalions backed by 5 coalition battalions providing support. I just talked to Time Magazine's bureau chief, who was in the battle from the beginning to the end. He basically just laughed when he heard that. He said from the get-go it was an American operation, it was an American battle plan, it was American military firepower that won that, and that was an American victory, and America should be proud of the victory, but it wasn't an Iraqi victory.
Yeah, well, and that's what I keep hearing, these dishonest assessment. Somebody's giving this guy bad advice, and he just won't listen to the facts. The facts are 60% unemployment, energy and oil production are below pre-war level. Every measurement I see is lack of progress rather than more progress. And to keep having Americans get killed when there's lack of progress and no plan is just unjustified.
Fucking A.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
Let's
just
get the
ridiculous.
Hell out of there. What the hell are we still doing there, John?
Like I said before, close them all down, open up the bases here, protect our borders, and if anybody needs our help, they sign on the dotted line, and they pay. They pay cash.
That's right.
We'll take cash only. Okay, gold, bullion, whatever. But it's got to be valuable, or we're not helping.
Well, I don't know about that, John. I mean, we could help. Like if there's a, well, actually we didn't help in Rwanda, but we could have. And
we would have made money because there's diamonds there.
During the, but it's not about making money all the time. Now I'm all for helping people.
Fuck that. I'm jaded, man. All Give right. me the money.
Well,
Give
I'm,
me the greenbacks.
I'm looking at it as a PR thing. You know, we help people get out of from under human rights abuses, and it's good PR for the U.S. But Bush takes this simple concept and he fucks it all up, John.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Bush. You want me to get behind you in your war? Give me a tax kickback. Give me a big fat one. So for every time I talk about it, I want like $100 a second.
And that's what he's probably paying, and that's why our deficit is in the trillions, John.
He's only paying that to the the weapons manufacturers and these corporate welfare gigantic corporations.
Right, and the news media. He's paying people in the States, and he's paying people in Iraq to catapult the propaganda. And it's goddamn ridiculous that he comes out and says that, oh, he doesn't support that at all. You're the one right behind it, you cunthead. Right. You're doing it in the States, and you're doing it in Iraq. You're a fraud, you're a phony, and everybody knows it now because of John and Scott Total Talk Nonsense. Guy's stupid! You fucking bitch! No, John, no. I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
Well, you know, Scott, we're at 36 right now.
All right, then. I'm surprised the doorbell hasn't rung.
No.
Oh, there it is. Boy, that guy's right on time every time.
You sure you can?
Oh, no doubt. Let me go get the door. Is that what you meant? Can I go get the door?
Yeah,
hold on.
I guess so.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to get the door. Almost there. Ooh, it's a long wait. Hey, man, what's happening? Come on in. All right, now we're both going to walk back. Yeah. All right, we're coming back.
All right, Phil, it's good to see you, man. Take a seat.
It's funny how you walk both in the same
footsteps. He's still walking. I already sat down. There he goes. Well, Phil, it's good to have you back.
Now, what's the matter, little cracker?
Well, thank you, Scott. It's always a pleasure to be here. And John, even though I can't see you, I'm in a different room. Thank you for being, and I'm thankful to be in your presence.
Let's just get on with it, all right, shall we?
I'm ready when you are.
All right, here we go.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, Phil.
First story tonight, John. Scientists discover that monkeys have accents. So the untrained ear of a certain species may all sound the same, but Japanese researchers have found that, like human beings, they actually have an accent depending on where they live. The finding, the first of its kind, will appear in the December edition of the German scientific journal Euthology to be published on December 5th, the primate researcher said. Differences between shilling by monkeys are like dialects of human beings, said Nabu Masakatataki, professor of the ethnology of Cato University's Primate Research Institute. I wonder if that's the Cato Institute.
Is it C-A-T-O?
All right, John, well, I brought my first audio clips in so we can try to see if we can determine if there are accents in the chimp. So I brought two clips in of chimp A and chimp B, and if you will, go ahead and play chimp A right now.
Hold on a second.
Here's chimp A.
Chimp A. Chimp A.
Chimp A.
Chimp A right now.
All right, John, let's hear chimp A. All right, now, but try to put that in your memory, your short-term memory.
Yeah,
I hope you've drank some caffeine. And now let's listen to Chimp B and see if we can tell a difference.
Chimp B, here we
Here's
go.
Chimp B. Chimp B.
We know that democracies do not foment terror or invade their neighbors.
Wait a minute. What did he say? Wait, one more time.
We know that democracies do not foment terror or invade their neighbors.
They don't foment it. We have Chimp C right here.
You cannot leave. If you send mixed messages.
Well, Phil, that was an excellent demonstration. I couldn't tell the difference between Chimp B and Chimp
recycled,
C.
Stuff.
But I could tell the difference between Chimp B and Chimp C and Chimp A. I believe Chimp B and C came from the same region.
Wait a minute.
And Chimp A came from a different area. Am I correct?
Wait a minute. Here's how a chimp starts his car.
I think Vladimir Putin.
Well, Scott, that's absolutely right. Chimp A is from a different region than Chimp B and C. They are from the same tribe. Next story. Lenny Kravitz to star in a Jimi Hendrix biopic. Excuse me while I demand my $10 back. You read it here first. You heard it here first. Lenny Kravitz is now in talks to play Jimi Hendrix in a biopic of the most famous guitarist in rock history. Sources tell me that Kravitz has secured the dramatic rights to Hendrix music through his estate and that his plan is to make his acting debut with the independent film. Next story, John. Man wearing see-through pants charged with indecent exposure. This is out of Alabama. A Jefferson County man is facing charges for allegedly approaching women wearing see-through pants. Darnell Lee Evans, 29, is charged with two misdemeanor counts of indecent exposure. Pelham police said Evans would walk up to women and ask if they could see what he had. Evans turned himself in and was questioned by Pelham investigators. According to police, another unspecified charge is pending. Next story, John.
Next story.
A Maine mechanic is the first entrant into the National Snowmobile Hall of Fame. In other news, John, there's a Snowmobile Hall of Fame. Next story. Unable to get arrested for jumping from a second-story roof, Tennessee man finally succeeds by stripping naked in 40-degree weather and firing handgun at passing cars. This is out of Germantown, Tennessee. A man wearing only socks was arrested along a busy Germantown street after witnesses said he fired a gun at afternoon traffic. Police charged Glenn Higgs, 44, with reckless endangerment, indecent exposure, firing a weapon in the city limits, and public intoxication. Temperatures were in the 40s when the incident occurred. I couldn't believe it, said Eddie Cox, who was driving home from the bank when he saw the naked gunman near Hicks Cross Road in his Memphis suburb.
Hold on, dude.
There was a nude man in the middle of the street, Cox said. He just stopped. Kind of spread eagle in the middle of the road.
Respect the cock.
Next story. It wasn't sexual assault. It was sleep sex, John.
What?
A Toronto man has been acquitted of sexual assault charges as medical officials said he was asleep at the time with a disorder known as sexsomnia. Jan Lukaduki, 33, met his victim at a party on July 6th, and both he had been drinking, the Toronto Sun reported. The woman, who can't be named, fell asleep on a couch and said she woke to find him having sex with her.
She pushed him off,
then she called the police. Lukaduki claimed he fell asleep on the couch and he woke up and he was thrown to the floor. Sleep expert Dr. Colin Shapiro testified Lukaduki had sexsomnia, which is a sexual behavior during sleep brought on by alcohol, sleep deprivation, and genetics.
Rocket.
The judgment outraged women's groups, John. This is infuriating. It's another case of the courts not taking women seriously, added another. Yet to the list of excuses when men use for sexual assault, says Susan Jay, a Canadian associate of sexual assault centers.
Jesus Christ, shut up.
That was a long story, wasn't it, John? Next story.
Not only once,
Los Alamos Nuclear Laboratory can't account for 600 pounds of plutonium. Are you listening to me, John? Authorities are searching for an eccentric wild-haired doctor driving a silver DeLorean and his spunky teenage buddy.
You worked that fucking puppet too good.
Next story. U.S. economy growing faster than Tom Cruise's schwants in an L.A. men's room. I think I reported this before, but I'll report it again. U.S. economy growth rose 4.3% annual rate from growth from September to July. The quickest since the first quarter of last year in evidence of the economy's resilience in the face of the record energy crisis costs. Next story. Yes, I must have had a printing error, John.
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine.
I'm not sure what happened, but the rest of my news is from 4 weeks ago.
What's your name?
Oh, don't no. Here, let that. Me start. I found some new news, John.
Beautiful day.
I work alone.
News crews goes around offering $20 to homeless people for 1 hour of landscaping work. Let me stop here, John, and ask you, all what right. do you think will happen?
Wait, read that again.
When news crews go around offering $20 to homeless people for 1 hour of landscaping work. Do you think that the homeless people will become landscapers for 1 hour and earn $20? Or do you think they'll turn it down?
They'll turn it down.
A Phoenix news crew with hidden cameras went around the city to see if the homeless people would actually accept work, as their cardboard signs claimed. They offered $20 to each homeless person in exchange for 1 hour of landscaping work. The result is not surprising, John. Homeless people would rather stand at street corners to wait for handouts than do actual work.
Yeah, they can make more than 20 an hour.
Next story, high school newspaper.
I'd pay them $20 if they could.
I've been doing cock push-ups.
Yeah.
What are cock push-ups, John?
Cock push-ups?
I've never
cock
heard
push-ups?
That before.
Cock push-ups?
Yes, cock
push-ups. Where you fucking lay down flat on the ground, and then you let your boner lift you up off the ground. See? It's fucking simple. Put
Jack.
Two of them up your ass. Shut up and listen to my order.
Is that Jack Black, John?
Take the six nuggets and throw two of them away. Put two of them up your ass. Fucking cocky ass, you fucking dick.
Next story.
You fucker, you fucking
all right, Jack Black,
bitch.
I'll wait for you to finish. Next story. High school newspaper runs story
Holy
on birth
shit.
Control. Administrators give students lessons on how the First Amendment applies to everyone except students at the high school.
You really
Next
think
story. I- And John, I need to ask you a question. If you are not willing to flash your breasts at a gorilla, you might want not become... John, if you are not willing to flash your breasts at a gorilla, you might not want to become an animal handler in California.
Are you a virgin?
Two animal handlers who say they were fired for refusing to expose their breasts to a 300-pound gorilla have settled their lawsuit against the Gorilla Foundation on undisclosed terms.
Have you ever kissed a
Nancy Alperin and Kendra Keller, both in their mid-40s, claim that Gorilla Foundation president Francis Penny Patterson pressured them. Get that, John. Francis Penny Patterson pressured them to indulge Coco, the gorilla's nipple fetish, as a way of bonding with a 33-year-old female gorilla. The foundation denied the allegations. And my last story tonight, John, is a follow-up to her previous story.
I'm Tommy.
Man pleads guilty in horse sex case. Oh, Scott, man, you gotta control yourself. I heard that, John. This is out of Seattle. A man was pleading guilty to trespassing in connection with a fatal horse sex case. James Michael Tate, or is that Taint, 54, of Umanaclaw, was accused of entering a barn without the owner's permission. Tate admitted to officers that he entered a neighborhood barn last July with friend Kenneth Pinion to have sex with a horse. Charging, paper said. Taint was videotaping the episode when Pinion suffered internal injuries that led to his death, John. Taint pleaded guilty Tuesday and was given a one-year suspended sentence, a $300 fine in order to perform 8 hours of oral sex on the community service and handle contact with the neighbors. The prosecutor's office said no animal cruelty charges were filed because there was no evidence of injury to the horse. And that's the news.
Thanks, Phil. All right, thanks again, Phil, for that great newscast.
No doubt.
Here on AKC's Total Talk Nonsense.
Fascinating.
All right, take it easy, man.
Later, Phil.
All right, see
you. All right, then.
I've got to go, though.
All right, bye-bye.
Why is a long walk to the store? All right, then. I'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
All right. That was another great... newscast by Phil. Actually, that is the sound of the end of this podcast, episode 32.
Part 3, John.
Part 3 with John and Scott here at AKC's Total Talk Nonsense.
And you are?
I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm really glad you joined us once again. Getting close to Christmas. Hope you bought your special someone something special.
And coming up on future podcasts, we'll have the top five Christmas or holiday videos of all time, as well as the top 10 doable women.
Ah, yeah.
By John and Scott. And don't forget to go and put your vote in for your favorite slogan, because we want to get those t-shirts printed up. And also, M-Tome, I'm sorry you did not win the contest, but we will send you a consolation prize.
Damn.
And we will be sending prizes out to Mark from Malta and TTN number one fan.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to ask them to take pictures with their new prize and send it back to us.
All right, then.
And there you have it, John.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
We do.
We do. What was that?
We do, baby.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. We're out of here. We'll go out with The Way It Is.
The Way It Is, baby.
Yeah.
Later.
All right, we're out.
You're listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
Just how it is. Your words are not meaningless to me, and I feel their honesty. This is my life, and I gotta figure.